Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. As always, brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. And big sports schedule coming up on Care Radio tomorrow night. Guess we're going to go somewhere we have not gone for football before. Mission Valley is it'll be JCN at Mission Valley for the championship of the district. We'll be talking about the districts next. And Saturday, it'll be Benedictine Homecoming 2023. The Ravens hosting Missouri Valley. Care pregame at about 12:45 or 1 o'clock kickoff at Wilcox Stadium. And then right after that, it's going to fast forward down to Winchester's. Care Radio is going to have coverage of the volleyball sub-state being hosted at JCN. So lots of sports coming up on Care. And, wow, where has the football season gone? As we are going to be recapping Week 7, getting set for Week 8, which is the, you know, they call it, I guess, the regular final season game. Still kind of a problem for me not calling Week 9 regular season. But last week, Meadowlark League, Atchison continues to roll. They had zero trouble and kept, matter of fact, kept Perry LeCompton to zero, winning at 42-0.
Yeah, in that Atchison game the other night, you know, it was one of those things where we made it almost all the way through the first quarter without a score, and then Atchison gets on the board with a minute 38 or so left in the first quarter. So, again, got off to a little bit of a slower start against Perry LeCompton, but Atchison just too good. Perry maybe a little too young, and when it's all said and done, Atchison scores a little under their season average, but still, that defense puts up a goose egg.
Yeah, 42. What a great number. Highland Park last week knocked off Kansas City Northeast 36-0. Closest game of the bunch, Schlegel 20-14 over Washington. Sumner beats Harmon 31-7, and Blue Valley Southwest, like everybody else, no trouble with Wyandotte, 50-0. In the NEKL, Jackson Heights at home, and for them, Gus, it was a huge win as they got by ACCHS 46-26.
Yeah, Jackson Heights playing pretty good football right now, and so they were able to score 46. ACCHS able to get some on the board there late, but Jackson Heights is going to finish the league as, you know, I guess however you want to say it, looks like they will be, yeah, they're going to be co-champions, if you will,
yeah,
of the Northeast Kansas League because they're going to be undefeated. Now, they'll be undefeated with only 4 wins in the conference. They were 4-0 in conference play. JCN is going to also be a league champion at 5-0. So,
is this something Case is going to have to do something about this? Or they're going to have to, you know, account somehow because with the district set up the way they've got it and playing a lot of non-conference games in your district, some teams will play, you know, a full conference slate. Some will play a partial. And then again, like the Tigers play in 4. Are they going to have to address that?
No, because I don't think there's a way of addressing it, right? I mean, you just don't have a way of adding those games in there. And so you say for football that leagues don't really matter and basketball becomes a thing because you are able to play everybody. But, I mean, you look at a team like Horton. Horton is only going to play three league games this year, right? And so, I mean, that's kind of some of the problem, too, with these, you know, districts that are kind of all over the place. So I guess the only way you could fix that is say that, you know, this league gets its own district, but then is that really fair to some of the other leagues? So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think, you know, for football, leagues are such a big deal.
Around the NEKL, not a lot of close games. Matter of fact, one a little close, but you had Silver Lake, no trouble at MHMA. JCN, big, big win, 72 points. 72-6 over Valley. The closest game was the Oskaloosa win over McLeod, 22-6. Rossville got by Pleasant Ridge. Sabetha defeats Horton. And, again, those games are pretty much just all district games up and down. So, that said, now we look at Friday night. Meadowlark League, the final home game. Well, final regular season home game for the Phoenix. Atchison hosting Wyandotte, a winless Wyandotte team. It'll be Washington, travel to Highland Park. Lincoln Prep out of Missouri goes to Sumner. It'll be Schlegel at Bonner Springs and Harmon in an interesting game at St. Mary's Academy, a team with whom I am totally not familiar.
Nope. It was one of those things where I even kind of looked at it, and St. Mary's Academy was one of those teams that I think I sat there and I looked at it, and I'm like, well, that, a lot of that doesn't make sense to me. Real quick, if you're interested, they're 4-3. They played, what, 5 Missouri teams. The Kansas teams they've played are Christ Prep, Galena, and then they'll play Harmon. So, yeah. They're not a class affiliation as far as that, so kind of makes me wonder if it's like a homeschool type thing, you know?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, especially with playing like Christ Prep as one of your teams, so.
Across the NEKL Friday night, it will be ACCHS with the Roadie to 24. They're going to be taking on Silver Lake at Silver Lake. It'll be Mar Hill Mount Academy going out 24. Can they share our bus?
You could. Yeah, why not?
You know, the Ravens will go to Rossville. We mentioned St. Mary's at McLeod. Centralia is at Pleasant Ridge. You're going to have Onega at home with Jackson Heights. Oskaloosa at Valley Falls. And Horton is at home. And I believe that's going to be Wabunsee going in. So, again, there's some tough games, some really unusual matchups. Again, Atchison County playing Silver Lake. You don't see that much. Mar Hill Mount Academy, Rossville, not typical games. And JCN at Mission Valley, you know, it's going to be a nice trip. We're looking forward to bringing you that game here on Care Radio as the Chargers, we'll see them for the second time this year, are going to be on the road in Eskridge. If you're wondering where Mission Valley is, Eskridge, Kansas, just southwest of Topeka a bit.
Yeah, so taking a look at the districts right now, if you go to Class 1A, District 3, St. Mary's is going to win that district of 4-0. JCN will be second. They are 3-1 right now. Mission Valley. So the thing is, if they lose that game, they're going to fall below McLeod. If they win, they'll kind of just stay where they're at. McLeod is right now 4, Oskaloosa 5, Valley Falls looking for their first district win. They're going to match up with District 4, which has Centralia undefeated right now, Jackson Heights at 2-1, Troy at 1-2. Riverside at 1-2, and Onega looking for a win right there in that district.
Yeah, but for, let's be real, for JCN and Mission Valley, it's a huge game. Not only is it for, it's for the postseason, right? I mean, because the winner of this will be the number two team in 1A3.
No, because so Mission Valley's problem right now is they lost that game to McLeod. So even with a win, they would have to point out to beat JCN. See what I'm saying? They'd both be 3-2, but JCN would be better on the points end. So again, it's not much of a game because, yeah, see, Mission Valley can't even catch them points-wise, 47-16. So, yeah, I mean, kind of how it's going to play out is St. Mary's 1, JCN 2. I would expect then Mission Valley to fall to 4, McLeod up to 3.
Well, then you look at the district with whom they'll be matched up, District 4. Centralia, the runaway winner in that one, there are 4-0 in the district. Jackson Heights, 2-1. Troy, 1-2. Riverside, 1-2. And the Onega Buffs, there are 0-3 in Class 1A, District 4.
So then jumping up to Class 2A, you're looking at District 3. You've got Silver Lake, who's undefeated in their district, at 3-0, Rossville at 2-1, ACCHS at 2-1, Pleasant Ridge at 1-3, and Mar Hill Mount Academy looking for their first win. They'll match up with District 4, who's got a big matchup this week. Sabatha and Nemaha Central will play each other for the last Big 7 title, for the district title, all of those things. Minneapolis in Riley County are in third, both of those teams at 1-2, both of those teams at -21. So you know what would be great? Let those two teams play each other to see who gets third and who ends up with fourth. And then you've got Horton in that one. So again, District 3 matches up with District 4. At this point, it looks like Mar Hill Mount Academy, Horton next week.
There you go. So anyway, it's Sabatha, Nemaha Central. And you touched on it just very briefly there. Is it kind of sad that the Big 7 is going to go away? One of the longest standings, one of the most respected conferences, I think, in the state of Kansas that has had so many state championship teams out of so many different sports, and yet it's gone.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy to think of, you know, no more Big 7. I mean, you talk about it now, you'll talk about it here in a couple of years, but, you know, 5 years, 6 years down the road, people will be like, the big what? The Big Ten? Is that what you're saying? You know, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, kind of crazy. Just kind of jumping around a little bit. Let's fly all the way up to Class 4A because that's the other one of interest. Right now, Atchison out on top, 7-0, 84 points. I'm not really sure how 4A figures up their points because Lewisburg is 7-0, but they have 80 points as well. You've got, in third place, Bishop Miege at 6-1. Atchison's going to win, right?
Atchison's going to win.
And now the other thing is you start looking at Lewisburg and you say, oh, well, right now they're in second. Wouldn't be shocked if they don't fall a little further than that because they're going to have to play Spring Hill on Friday night. Spring Hill being a 5A team, and the Broncos right now are 6-1. So should be a really good game there in their last one. Spring Hill's only loss came to Blue Valley Southwest. So they've beaten teams like Bonner, Tongi, Eudora, Ottawa, Paola, and Sport Scott and had no problems with them. So, again, it's going to be a tough one for Lewisburg going on the road to Spring Hill. So they could even fall all the way to like a 5 seed.
Now, here's the thing. Atchison, I would say, and help me out with this, Atchison is probably the only team in Class 4A that's got a chance at being the undefeated state champion then.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Because the only other undefeated team right now in 4A is Lewisburg. On the West, the top-ranked teams are Abilene and Bueller, both at 6-1.
Yeah. Nope. I think you're spot on. And talking about Atchison real quick. Okay. Atchison's won 19 consecutive games against Meadowlark opponents. If they win Friday night against Wyandotte, they're going to wrap up the third consecutive unbeaten season in the league, which is crazy. The Phoenix have posted a 24-3 overall record over the last three seasons. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive. They're 7-0 this fall. I mean, it's just kind of crazy to step back and look at, and we talk about it all the time, right? Enjoy the ride, because this is special. This is something that just doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, and real quickly, looking at 4A, in the East, Atchison and Lewisburg, we talk about 7-0. The other good teams, Bishop Miege and Chanute, are 6-1. The 5-2 teams are Tonganoxie, St. Thomas Aquinas, and Baser-Linwood. Baser-Linwood's got a huge game coming up this weekend, by the way. And at 4A West, if you're wondering, you know, how that half shakes out right now with Abilene and Butler at 6-1, Wamego and Wellington 5-2, and then you go all the way down to Coffeyville, McPherson, and Andover Central all at 4-3.
You want to crystal ball this thing? I would expect Atchison's first game is going to be against Bonner Springs.
I would say Atchison, Bonner Springs, a real good guess.
Yeah, I mean, Bonner Springs is 0-7. They will get a chance to win a game this weekend. They're going to get Schlegel. I mean, because your other bottom three teams are LeBec County, who has Chanute, and then the third worst team in the East is going to be St. James Academy, and they're going to be at Blue Valley North. So
there you have it. Hey, go to mscsports.net. Make sure you know your schedules. Make sure you get out and support those teams. We are down to the last game of the regular season, Week 9, next week, and we're going to be with JCN at Mission Valley. We'll be back. Sports Look continues right after this. Well, last Saturday, guys, the Benedictine Ravens were on the road. We went over to Central Methodist, and for the Ravens, we've talked about it during the course of the season. You know, sometimes it's been really tough for them to get off to a good start. Well, they kind of shook that off this week.
Yeah, so Benedictine went over to Fayette. The most points that Coach Osborne has scored in a first quarter this season was 17. They scored 3 touchdowns in the first quarter against Central Methodist the other day. Getting to 21 on a 2-yard touchdown pass to Zimmerman, a 38-yard pass to Gathright, and then Sean Wara with a nice touchdown run. For Benedictine, the offense just looked good. They were able to do a lot of things that they wanted to. 74 plays, 565 yards of offense, and you say, wow, they probably threw the ball really well. They threw it okay. 257 passing yards, 308 rushing yards for Benedictine Saturday afternoon.
Wow. Ravens running the football, and you run the football, and they're having some wins, and so great balance that BC's showing. And we talk about the defense doing a great job in the offense, but your conference special team player of the week, Harry Balke.
Yeah, Balke went 8 of 8 on PATs and also knocked in a field goal right at the end of that ball game, and so it was good to see him on a 38-yard field goal. I think the one thing that maybe gets lost, because everybody looks offense, and we're going to talk about it in segment 4 with the Chiefs, right? Everybody wants to talk offense. The one thing that you kind of forget is Benedictine's defense on Saturday, they held Central Methodist to 1 of 12 on third down conversions. That is 8%. They held Central Methodist to negative 1 rushing yard on 23 carries. Okay, I mean, they forced 9 punts the other day. They were able to get 3 sacks. They were able to take the ball away once. I mean, so many great things came out of that defense on Saturday afternoon.
You score 59, but if you can hold your opponent to negative yards rushing, the odds of you doing well are pretty good.
Yeah, and you know, Central Methodist scored on a 39-yard interception return, and their only offensive touchdown came at the 5:30 mark of the first half, when basically that was set up by that 86-yard punt. So
Benedictine with an impressive win around the conference. William Penn went on the road up to Clark, win by 21 at Dalzell Field. It was Baker, absolutely surprising me, because they manhandled Mid-America 40-7. Peru State and Grayson, bit of a scrap. 37-31 in a high-scoring Peru State win. And the Ravens' opponent this week coming up, they had their homecoming last week in Marshall, Missouri, and Missouri Valley beats Missouri Baptist 35-20.
So looking at some of the scores from the other day, and we talk about the one at Liston Stadium where Baker scores 40 points. And they beat Mid-America 47. Is Baker back maybe a little bit?
Yes.
Are they starting to figure things out?
They're getting back.
Okay. I mean, so Baker is one of those teams you would rather have played in, like, early September than probably late October, right?
Yeah, well, Baker, 446 yards of offense. But, again, you talk about rushing yards and how important they are, 254 rushing yards. They only complete half of their passes for 190 yards. So, I mean, the passing game, pretty middle of the road, nothing too outstanding.
So all the Holton kids they have on their roster, they feel right at home.
Four Holton guys on that roster right now. So, yeah, long and short of it is, I think Baker is an improved team. They scored, you know, on 1 yard run, 3 yard fumble recovery, couple of field goals, 1 yard run, 4 yard run, field goal. So, I mean, their points have been not long strikes. You know, they're not stretching the field. You can see that they're kind of grinding this thing out a little bit and driving it down.
Ball control type offense.
Yeah. And that said, still their time of possession was less than Mid-America's last week.
Taking a look at the upcoming sports schedule, or the conference schedule, if you will, this Saturday, Baker will be at Missouri Baptist for a 1 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Culver Stockton will be at Clark for a 1 o'clock. Grandview at Graceland for a 1 o'clock. So they could be back home by 5, right?
Easy.
They're going to go there, spank them around a little bit, get back home pretty quickly. The wheels have fallen off of Graceland. Central Methodist will be at Mid-America, a 2 o'clock start. And then the 2:30 game.
2:30? What's up with that?
Homecoming up there in Oskaloosa, Iowa, as Peru State will be playing William Penn. You kind of wonder if 2:30 is because, I don't know, soccer, the number of things being used for that stadium, too. I mean, could be 1,000 things. So, again, a full slate of games going on around the conference this Saturday.
Yep, we're looking forward to bringing you that Benedictine homecoming game 2023. Tell you what, we're also looking forward to bringing you a great conversation with Benedictine running back Dalton Witherspoon. We'll be back. Sports Look continues here on K Radio right after this. Hey, we've got Dalton Witherspoon with us, running back for the Benedictine Ravens. Dalton, good to talk to you, man. How's it going?
It's going good. Good to be on. Going good so far, so I'm happy to be on.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, well, let's first of all talk a little bit about the Dalton Witherspoon biography, okay? Tell me a little bit about home, a little bit about the family.
Really not too far from here, about 2.5 hours, Windsor, Missouri, little small town. kind of around Warrensburg, Missouri, Sedalia, Missouri. A lot more people familiar with those towns. So I got my two of my brothers here playing ball with me. So one's my twin, actually, Dylan Witherspoon and Peyton Witherspoon, incoming freshmen. Family doing good. They're able to make it out to a lot of games, which is nice because it's close. So just a little bit about them, yeah.
All right. So how does a guy from Windsor, Missouri, end up coming to Benedictine College? Tell me about how the recruiting went and how you ended up coming to BC.
Yeah. Well, we were very familiar with them throughout high school. I have a teammate that's also a running back, Jonah Roberts. He's from Windsor, Missouri as well. So he's 2 years older than me. So just watching him play here a little bit. The coach that recruited us is from a small school around the area from Windsor. So we were really in touch with him a lot, Coach Kogan. And just kind of getting familiar with the coaches, coming to a lot of game day visits. They had us out for a lot of game day visits, and we just really had a good relationship with all the coaches with the visits and just over the years of high school. So they did a great job recruiting us.
So when you came to Benedictine, you'd been here on some visits and stuff, and now that you've been here a couple of years, is the school what you expected? Is BC what you thought it was going to be when you signed on?
Yes. I mean, it's kind of exceeded my expectations, definitely. I knew that it was a very good, strong faith school, good community all around with the school, the football program. I feel like Coach Osborne does a very good job of having us feel like it's a community here. Everyone here, all the players, coming even just from the visits and stuff, getting to be around the team and stuff, you could kind of see that it's a player-led team, and the coaches do a very good job of kind of putting that forward and letting the team, have that strong brotherhood. So, I think it exceeded my expectations from there. And also the school part, very strong on academics. Coach Osborne is very strong about that. So that was very nice to see. Definitely weeded them out from the other schools, putting academics first and then having that strong brotherhood with the football team next.
So you and your twin came first, and then your younger brother is now a freshman.
Yeah.
So were you a package deal? Did you two, had you sat down at home and said, okay, here's the deal. Wherever I'm going, you're going. Where you're going, I'm going. Was it like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of something we always dreamed of, playing together when we were kids. We've kind of never been separate in sports we've done, so we've kind of done everything together. So it was almost second nature for us just to kind of go to the same place together. We definitely both were like, pretty dead set in high school on wanting to play together, and I think it would just be a lot different not playing with each other, and we kind of feed off each other, and we're good. I think we're better as a package together, so yes.
Definitely. All right. Windsor High School, small school. How good was the football team? You can tell me the truth. Were you pretty good?
We were pretty good. We kind of helped build up the program from when we were younger. We had a lot of my friends were kind of getting at me and Dylan were getting everyone involved, and we took football very seriously, so we wanted all of our buddies to be in it, so we helped build up the program, I would say. And our junior year, we went undefeated and won the state championship. And our senior year, we had another successful year. So I mean, we were successful in high school, but it definitely took a lot of hard work and getting all of our buddies into it to play as well.
It was small enough. Were you playing both sides?
Oh yes, we were playing everything. I was the kicker. I was the punter. I was the linebacker on defense. So I kind of done a little bit of all, but it kept me into the game, kept me loving it, and yeah, it was awesome playing small school football.
Were you always 33?
I was not. In high school, I was 30 my senior and my junior year. So coming to college, being able to stick in the 30s was pretty nice. I thought about changing to 30 this year, but the 33 stuck with me. I love the 30s, yes.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the important stuff. Let's talk about academics. What's your field of study, and tell me kind of how that's going.
Right. So I'm still kind of undecided in between majoring in business management or taking some classes in accounting right now. So I'm still kind of filling it out a little bit, but leaning kind of towards the business and accounting side right now. So loving academics here so far, yes.
Is it hard?
Yes, it's tough coming from a smaller school. Definitely a little bit of an eye-opener coming to college. So the first semester was a little rough, but once you get in the feel of things, and it helps that the coaches, they want us to take academics serious, so that definitely helps. So it was tough, but I'm getting into it, and it's going good now, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about small town, and you're from Windsor. Again,
right.
We talk about small town. How many kids in the school? Kind of, sort of.
around 300-400 kids, okay. Usually around 30 per class, so pretty small.
Okay. So that said, you've come to a school now, and some of the guys I've talked to, the SoCal guys,
right.
I mean, let's be real, they got 2,000-3,000 yeah. kids in the school. Yeah. I mean, is it different? How do you mesh with them?
Yeah, it's definitely different. They love hearing stories, you know, about how small the school is, and it's crazy to hear how big their classes are and some of the kids that they've played with. So it's cool getting to know them California kids and the bigger schooler kids. So it's definitely cool getting to hear their stories and them hearing our stories. But we all love talking to each other about it. So it's good.
See, and I'm a small right. high school guy too. So I mean, you know, every day when you pull into the parking lot, who's here and who's not, because you know the car.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know everyone walking through the halls, and some of those kids that they can't believe it on a team here. You know, they're like, man, we only knew a couple of kids. You know, the people in our class, they had way more than kids in our class. So, yeah, you know everyone in the town, you know everyone at school, you know what to expect every day and everything. So, I mean, it's definitely different to them, but they love hearing about it.
Okay, so you were running back at high school. What kind of an offense did you run? Was it I? Was it pro set? Tell me a little about it.
We ran a little bit of a mixture of spread and some wing tee and a little bit of I formation. So, we did kind of quite a bit of different things, but it was a lot more spread, but more some wing tee as well too. Yeah.
So you were running the ball a little bit.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. They gave me the ball plenty for sure.
And you've got to be happy with how the season has gone on. You know, as you're carrying the ball more, and you know, a huge week a couple weeks ago, and you know, you got to love putting the ball in your hands.
Oh yeah. I mean, I love having the ball in my hands. I'm definitely comfortable with it. I love being able to make plays for my team, you know, and if fourth downs, fourth and shorts, I love being able to, you know, extend the drive for my team. So I love the ball in my hands, yes, sir.
See, and of course, I was kid Coach Osborne, because I like to see him grind it out. The best defense is a great offense,
yes.
And keep that other team off of the field,
yes.
You know, and those long, substantial drives have got to feel good. And I like the your downhill style. I mean,
right.
do you think about that when you're running the ball?
Yeah, that's something a lot of people have always noticed, just kind of how I ran the ball when I was a kid. My dad was running back and when he was in high school as well, so he kind of taught me I played the old school way a little bit, you know, run with your pads down and get what you can. I've just kind of always been that way in high school, and I believe that helps me be a successful running back, just bringing the aggressiveness. So I love running with my pads down, yes, sir.
Tell me about this team. I look at it, and I see a team that's very cohesive and very tight-knit. Is it what I think it is?
Yes, sir. I mean, there was a lot of guys here in the summer, and we take pretty good pride in that, and having guys here in the summer building just the extra bond and the extra hard work. But we're all, I mean, offense and defense together, we're all one team. We're all one brotherhood. I mean, we take it very serious, yes, sir.
Dalton Witherspoon with us, running back for the Benedictine Ravens. You talked about a lot of guys spent the summer. You stayed up here last year,
yes,
too?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, what did you do? What was your summer job?
I worked for a painter, me and Dylan both. We just painted. We painted houses around Atchison. So wake up real early, work out, do your conditioning, and go to work. So it was fun.
It's like life at home, right?
Yeah.
Get up early and get started?
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. A few other just kind of off-the-cuff questions. What would be your dream car, your favorite rig to drive? If you got to be driving what you want, tell me what your car is going to be.
I don't know, maybe a souped up loud Mustang or something. Maybe a blacked out Mustang. I would like GT, maybe, yeah.
Okay. Are you a morning guy or are you a night owl?
I'm a morning guy. I like to be up early. I feel more accomplished when I'm up early doing something in the morning. So, yeah, morning guy, yeah.
And does that work with school, too, then, pretty well? You do
your
homework at night, or you get up in the morning and do the homework?
I like to get up and kind of, you know, get some things done before class. Definitely have to still do some stuff after practice for stay on top of your studies and stuff, but kind of a mixture of both, yeah.
Windsor, Missouri, you play football. Cannot be the only sport you played. What else did you play in high school?
No, sir, I was busy all year. Football, then basketball, and track and baseball as well, and a little bit of golf in the summer too. So,
okay, if you weren't playing football, what would have been your next love?
I really loved baseball. Baseball and track. I was also pretty good at track, just with my speed, and that helped me with football. But baseball, probably. I played a lot of baseball growing up in the summers and stuff, and that kept me busy. So, probably baseball.
Shortstop.
Shortstop, catcher, a little bit of pitcher too. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yep.
The tools of ignorance, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Favorite Gatorade flavor and color?
Ooh, probably red. Red's my favorite color, so I kind of like to stick with my red. But red, probably. Yes, sir.
Okay. Getting ready for the game. You know, you're sitting here. You're getting the gear on. You're getting your jam music going. What's your go-to pump-up song music?
A little bit of rock. From my dad would play rock all the time when we were kids before football games, so maybe some AC/DC stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're going old school. I like this.
Yeah, yeah.
A little Axl.
Yeah, Metallica maybe a little bit too.
That's fantastic. Oh, gosh, I got to ask you, you know, who was your big mentor? I mean, growing up, was there a coach? Was there a family member, a friend, maybe a pro athlete that you looked at and said, man, I like what this guy's got going on?
Just being from a smaller school, definitely looked up to those high school kids all the time. A lot of kids in the high school level, just watching them play as a kid definitely made me love football more and make me just want to be out on that high school field playing for my community more. My dad, definitely, he coached me all the way up pretty much. So he kind of put football in our lives early, and that was really what got me hooked on football. So my dad and just those high school kids in a smaller school, really.
Okay. Let's say this one, you know, it's off season, man, in the summertime. I'm cruising. I find myself, I'm in Windsor, okay? And I bump into you. You're walking down the street. You're minding your own business. And I say, Dylan, look at me. I love a meal. Yeah. Where are we going to go, man? Where are you going to take me in or around Windsor? Where's your go-to place, and what is it we're going to have?
I mean, there's really not a ton to do, but maybe on a nice Saturday, maybe we go fishing or go out into the woods or something. I mean, there's a lot of woods, and Truman Lake's not too far from Windsor, so a lot of people are out on the lake fishing and just driving around the boat, so maybe that or watching a high school game on a Friday night, yeah.
Okay. So you're like outdoors guy?
Yes, yes, big outdoors guy, yes.
Hunting, fishing, all of that kind of stuff?
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Do you camp?
Yes, yes. We go down, my family loves to go down to Bennett Springs, Missouri all the time and trout fish, and we camp down there a lot, yes, sir.
Can you catch a trout? Can you tie a fly?
I can. I fly rod quite a bit. I love it.
Oh, that's fantastic. I don't know anybody who can tie flies anymore. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a special skill, but it's fun. It's very fun to do.
There's a young guy listening to us right now, and he's heard that, wow, here is Dylan. He's come from small town playing college ball, and he comes up to you and says, man, what kind of advice can you give to me? If I, you know, what would you tell maybe a high school junior, senior, you know, who's trying to figure out what to do? What would you tell him?
I mean, you just got to keep working hard. It's definitely hard from a smaller school trying to get looks from colleges and stuff, and that was always tough in high school, but just keep working hard. Love what you do. The coaches will come to you. I mean, go to camps and just enjoy it. They'll come to you, and when you get your opportunity, take the best of it. I mean, don't, if you just have maybe one offer or so, I mean, take that up. Go try it out. Go play. Don't just maybe stay back home. Go give it a shot for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've saved it for the last because we're about to wrap this up. Dylan Witherspoon with us. Toughest question I'm going to ask you. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. Which one and why?
Batman, for sure. I was always a Batman fan growing up. I would always be him for Halloween a couple times, but I don't know. I loved his movies maybe a little bit more. Spider-Man's a close second, but I'd have to go with Batman for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Dalton, it's been a pleasure, man. I appreciate you letting us steal a little bit of time. Best of luck to you and the Ravens for the rest of the year.
Thank you, thank you. Go Ravens.
Back with you here on Care Radio. Sports Look continues. Don't forget to stick around right after the program. Coaches Insight shows here. So those are coming up. Kansas City Chiefs, because people around the conference and people around the country are saying, well, they keep winning, but they're just not impressing anybody. I think a lot of people got spoiled with some of the big scores and some of the things they were doing. They handled the Broncos, maybe the NFL's worst team, certainly one of the worst three. The Chiefs win that one 19-8.
The Broncos are so bad.
So
right?
Bad.
I mean, like, you watched that game the other night, and you're like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of close, but it's not. And the Broncos were really lucky, I think, to probably even score anything in that ballgame. Man, they are awful. And I think that, you know, it's one of those things where people forget that it's for the Broncos this year, it hasn't been the offense that's been the problem. It's been the defense. Well, the Chiefs' defense, though, was able to shut down that Broncos offense on last Thursday. We talked about it a little bit on segment two. Sometimes you talk about the offense and their struggles, and you forget to talk about the defense and maybe how good they are. This Kansas City defense is a top five defense right now, and you know, I feel like this is a defense that's about to get a little better.
Well, we're gonna find out, as Chiefs are gonna be back at home again this week, and 3:25 game hosting the Chargers. The only questions are: will Mercole be on the field, and will he play, and will he participate, and is Frank back?
Sounds like it, right? I mean, he was in Kansas City today for his physical, and I think if everything checked out, that the Chiefs were going to be able to go ahead and bring Frank back, because, again, Frank wants to be here. He's not going to cost you anything.
And Chris Jones wants him here, because
Chris wants him here. And can I tell you, all anybody talks about with Frank from last season is how he was able to mentor George Karloftis and bring him along. All of a sudden, Karloftis has turned into a really nice player for this defense. So if he's a player that can maybe come in and help Karloftis continue to get better, but mentor maybe your first-round pick from this year, which was Felix Anudike Uzama, and try to maybe bring him along and things, here's the deal. I don't really need Frank Clark to play regular season snaps. Sure, you'll run him out once in a while for like a third and long, a passing situation. I just need him to be able to go when it's the playoffs, right? Like send him out there and say, go get somebody.
Okay, so why have these Chiefs, who are both Super Bowl champions, why were they unsuccessful at other places? We're talking about two other places. Is it that they just fit the Andy Reid style? Were they just not happy having left? Are they not as good as we think? Why weren't they not successful in coming back?
Yeah, I think Mecole Hardman was a guy who, if he's healthy, he can help you. But you got to remember, he had that surgery after the championship game last year. And so he's a guy who, again, if he's healthy, he helps you. He'll be able to plug right back into this offense because he knows it. The other thing was, they were saying that he kind of had some problems trying to pick up the new playbook there with the Jets and just never could get it. With Frank Clark, I think it comes down to the Broncos overestimated what Frank Clark was at this point, right? Frank Clark is I'll get the quarterback maybe twice a game, right? But I'm not a guy to play first and second down. I'm not going to be a guy at this point of his career that's going to be able to stop the run, right? On a second and three, he's not going to stop the running back. I mean, he will, but the problem is it's 7 yards downfield, okay? So I think at this point, Frank Clark is only dead. He's a pass rusher.
Yeah, and he's not going to play 40 downs in a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who is going to turn it on when you need it, right? He's a fourth-quarter guy.
He seems to have that switch.
Right, I mean, and you start looking at it. I really think the reason it works for Frank Clark to come back here, he's only 3 sacks maybe away from the NFL postseason record, right? So you come to Kansas City, you're probably going to end up with two or three playoff games.
You're not going to get that with the Broncos?
Yeah, and I think that he just probably thought it was better to be somewhere else. And, you know, for Frank Clark, he was a great guy here in Kansas City as far as a locker room guy. Everybody liked him. I think the fans will like him again,
oh, yeah,
especially if he's coming in and you're not paying him, right? I think the fans fell out of love with Frank Clark when he was one of the highest paid defensive players in the NFL, and he was getting you a few sacks here and there, but he wasn't dominating the game. That's what you anticipated.
And again, for the Broncos, I mean, let's be honest, they're so bad, they're divesting themselves, they're going to have to try to rebuild, they're clearing some money out, they're going to go out and try to, you know, I think, yeah, draft people and try to do some things and young up that team. And Frank is not a young guy.
Yeah, I mean, just didn't fit the mold. And so you gotta move a different direction. And I like what the Broncos are doing right there, right? Get younger, and that is going to be the group you play with. So
Chiefs only a 5.5-point favorite over the Chargers for Sunday. Now, tonight, you got a couple of, you know, decent teams. The Saints are 3-3. The Jags are 4-2. And they are going to be your Thursday night contest.
Yeah, New Orleans a 1-point favorite right now. The game is being played in New Orleans, over under a 40. If you're a Chiefs fan, you probably need to pull for the Saints. Tonight,
sure you do.
Right? Because the Jaguars have won, what, four straight? They're looking for five straight right here. They've got kind of a soft schedule as the season progresses. So every loss you can stack up on another, you know, conference opponent, it's not a bad thing. But again, that Saints team has not been able to put it together the way I thought maybe they would under Derek Carr.
Talk about a team that's put it together. That's going to be the Detroit Lions, and they're 5-1. I can't believe I can say that. 5-1 Lions are going to be at the Ravens, who are 4-2. That's going to be an outstanding, outstanding game at noon Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's probably the one game you really have to circle on your weekend, Lions at Ravens, because you're going to get a good feel for what both of these teams can do. And when you're talking about Baltimore, we do know what they do well. Kick field goals, right? I mean, if you want a 20-yard field goal team, I mean, Baltimore has kind of been it this year. Justin Tucker knocked in, what, 6 field goals the other day. 41, 28, 23, 29, 20, and 36. I mean, so for Baltimore, if you're looking at the thing that they've got to get better at this season, it's in the red zone and trying to cap off some of those touchdown drives. The Lions' defense has been really good this year. I can't wait to see, you know, can Lamar maybe get things, you know, on track against a really good Lions team.
Okay, before we talk about great teams, I got to tell you, the NFL's got some really horrible teams. Look at all the 1-5. By the way, there's no one winless.
And there are some bad games this weekend.
There's 1-5 Bears with the Raiders, 1-5 Giants with Commanders, 1-5 Patriots with the Bills. You know, you've got.
I'm not sold on the Bills right now. I mean, they're 4-2 and snuck one out against the bad Giants team.
You got 1-5 Cardinals at the Seahawks. You got 1-5 Broncos hosting a 2-3 Packers team. I mean, there's some terrible teams. However, there's going to be one fantastic 3 o'clock game. Okay, or rather, the Sunday night game. Let me fix that. The Sunday night game is going to be absolutely lights out. Dolphins, Eagles, 2-5-1 teams. A couple of teams that could be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to find out a lot more about the Dolphins maybe in this next little stretch, right? Because the Dolphins games to this point have been Chargers, Patriots, Broncos, Bills, Giants, Panthers. The Bills are maybe the only decent team in that group. Listen to the next handful of games for the Dolphins. They're going to get the Eagles on Sunday. Next week, they'll get the Patriots, which not very good. But then they're going to get the Chiefs. The Raiders, who are playing better, the Jets, who are playing better. I mean, this schedule all of a sudden gets a lot harder as the season progresses. And the last three games of the season for the Dolphins are going to be home with the Cowboys, at Baltimore, home with the Bills. I mean, so the schedule gets a lot more difficult. I think that it'll be interesting to see exactly how the Dolphins match up. I know everybody wants to take this game and go, oh, it's Jalen Hurts versus the guy who replaced him at Alabama in Tua. For me, I want to see exactly how this Dolphins offense does against the Eagles defense.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But the thing is, the Dolphins have going for them a horrible division. I mean, they're playing bad teams in their division twice.
Yep. And again, you might as well get fat off of those games.
Now, Monday night, I was hoping early in the season that this was going to be good because I had expected more from Kirk Cousins and his team, but the 49ers are for real, man. They are fantastic. Maybe the best defense in the NFL. 5-1, and Monday night they'll be up against the 2-4 Vikings.
Yeah, the Vikings without Justin Jefferson are going to struggle a little bit in this ball game. Again, at least it is a home game for the 49ers. They've got McCaffrey, who's dealing with a rib injury. They've got Deebo Samuel, who's, you know, dealing with some injuries himself. You're going to laugh at this. I think this has potential to be a decent game. I mean, I wouldn't also be surprised if the 49ers come out and just throttle the Vikings. But, again, a home game for Minnesota, it's a Monday. That doesn't usually bode well for Kirk Cousins because he's not a primetime guy. But at some point, he's going to have to turn it on during one of those games. This could be it.
Well, looking quickly at the college, the University of Kansas is going to have a week off, and so no game for the Jayhawks Saturday, but K-State will be at home with TCU.
Whole lot of purple.
TCU's been struggling this year, so K-State ought not to have any problem. Only a 6.5-point favorite in that one at home. Then you got some big nationally ranked games with Tennessee at Alabama. Alabama down to number 11, Tennessee at 17. That's 2:30 Saturday. Florida State. I don't know. The Noles just keep playing really well. They've got number 16 Duke coming to town.
Yeah, I don't think Duke probably makes that a game.
No, I can't imagine. And then, you know, because I know the Big Ten fan that you are, you've got Penn State at Ohio State Saturday morning.
Okay. Penn State number 7, Ohio State number 3, and nobody cares because they tossed this thing at 11 a.m. game, right? Because they knew if they put Big Ten football on primetime, nobody will watch it. All right, I think I sent you a thing the other day. The Big Ten is going to see Iowa probably in the Big Ten title game, and they're a team who can't score 20 points a game. Yeah, I mean, it's the Big Ten. Nobody cares.
There you go. Hey, people are going to care about the games we've got coming up here on Care Radio, because tomorrow night we're going to go to Eskridge, Kansas. I'll give you the full tower tour, Gus. I've called the Chamber of Commerce. They're going to come out, you know, bring... Nice. At Jefferson County North at Mission Valley, 7 o'clock tomorrow on Care Radio. Saturday, the Benedictine Ravens homecoming 2023. 12:45 pregame and a 1 o'clock kickoff at Wilcox Stadium. Ravens host Missouri Valley. Right after that on Care Radio, we're going to take you down to Winchester for volleyball sub-state action from Jefferson County North. Also, don't go away. Coach's Insight coming up next, but... Until I don't let me forget to remind you that Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's, your Sports Look sponsor. Till we greet you tomorrow night from the stadium. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.